So I have to thank Ariel. He showed me a Rashi on Pirkei Avos. Rashi or Mevar Tanua? Rashi. It says, Aseh lecha rav ukne lecha chaver. Rashi says, what does chaver mean? Svarim. So I looked around in the Achronim, so what's the pshat? So some say, it says kne. It costs money to buy svarim. That's what some of the mefarshim say. I looked in the... Okay, so you see svarim. So you see an amazing thing that your svarim should be your friend. Guys, this is a madriga to get to, that you enjoy learning, and if you're connected with your svarim, that you're friends. A couple of years ago, Mishpacha magazine, they had a series. They did 1 week on Rav Yashiv and 1 week on the Geret, 1 week on Rav Adya.
A whole week on Rav Adya?
No. They had a special article.
Do you have it?
I think I have it at home somewhere. And they wrote that Rav Adya was at a wedding and he was Masada Kedushin, and then after the wedding, he had to go home. He said, I'm in a rush to go home. I said, why? He said, my friends are waiting for me. He said, your friends? They said, your friends? And he said, yes. He said, my friends? He said, yes. He said, the Rashba, the Ritva. It's amazing. Mamish pshat in the Mishnah. Literally. So, your svarim are your friends. Even higher than that, you get to the level where when you learn, like, they're your friends, and you feel like, thank you, you feel like they're alive, they're here with you. And this is something which the Rav would speak about. He would speak about this idea. And many times, early in life, late in life, he felt like the Rishonim and the Achronim were with him. We heard the tape of the Rav, right? When, as an old man, when people walk in, when he's giving shir, that everyone walks into the room. Right, we heard that tape. So this is one of the most famous pieces. This you won't find a recording of, because this the Rav wrote in a sefer called Uvikashta Misham. It's one of the most powerful things you're ever going to read. We're going to read it together now. Let me stress the idea of the Masor by telling you a personal story. I remember that when I was growing up, I was a frightened and a lonely boy. I was afraid of the world. For me, the world was a cold and strange place. I imagine everyone was mocking me. But I had one friend. Do not laugh at me. It was the Rambam. Sorry. How did we become friends? Simply, we met. Rambam was a constant guest in our home. During the days when my father was a newlywed, supported by my grandfather, the pious Gaon Rabbi Yo Feinstein of Pruzhina, father studied Torah day and night. A small group of outstanding young scholars gathered around him and eagerly absorbed his teachings. My father studied with his disciples in the room where my bed was located. My want was to sit on my bed and listen to my father's words. He constantly quoted the Rambam. His method was to first open the Gemara and analyze the text under discussion and the relevant commentaries. He would generally say, these are the explanations of the Ri and the other Bali Tosfos. Now let us analyze the explanation of the Rambam. My father would inevitably discover the Rambam rejected the basic explanation of the text and differed with Tosfos. My father would declare, as if to complain, we cannot comprehend the approach and conclusion of the Rambam towards the Talmudic text. It was almost as if my father was directly saying to the Rambam, Rabbi Namosha, why have you taken this approach? My father would continue. At first glance, the Ravid is correct in his criticism of the Mishnah Torah. The students would jump in forward and each would express his thoughts. My father would carefully listen, but would refute their proposed interpretations. Once again, he would exclaim that the words of the Rambam were incomprehensible. Nevertheless, my father would not give up. He would place his head on his hand, and soon be engrossed in deep thought. The students would not disturb his thought process. Finally, my father would gradually lift his head and begin to expound the true meaning of the Rambam. Sometimes he would be lengthy, in other cases brief. I would strain my ears to catch my father's every word. In my young and impressionable mind, there developed a dual impression. First, that the Rambam was being attacked by enemies who wanted to hurt him. And second, that the Rambam's only defender was my father. Wow. I felt strongly that without my father, who knows what happened to the Rambam. It was as if the Rambam himself were with us in the room. Listen to my father's words. The Rambam sat next to me on my bed. What did he look like? I don't know exactly. He seemed to look like an exceedingly handsome and good father. His name was also Moshe, just like my father. Intensely following my father, the students absorbed his every word. Slowly but surely, the tension evaporated. My father continued his discourse with strength and courage. New ideas were clarified. The halachos under discussion were classified and carefully articulated. A new light emerged. The questions were resolved and the topic properly explained. Rambam emerged triumphant. And my father's face was filled with happiness and delight. He had defended his friend, the Rambam. The Rambam was comforted and smiled. Notice, 65 years later, what would the Rav say? The Rashba smiled gently. Remember that?
Yeah.
So as a 7-year-old kid, he sees the Rambam smiling on his bed. And 65 years later, he sees the Rashba smiling gently in cheer. Wow. I too was delighted and joined in the feeling of joy in the room. I would jump from my bed and run to my mother and cry out in the good news. Mother, mother! The Rambam won! He beat the Ravid. Father helped him. Look how wonderful my father is. Wow. Anyway, guys, this is amazing. This is an amazing house. Okay. But once in a great while, my father did not succeed, and despite all his efforts, the enemies of the Rambam defeated him. The questions were as strong as iron. Although my father mustered all his strength, he could not save the Rambam from his detractors. Salvation did not come for the Rambam. Deep in thought, my father would lean his head on the palm of his hands on the table. The students and I, and even the Rambam, waited in great tension my father's words. But my father would raise his head and sadly state, "There is no answer. The words of the Rambam are difficult." They say, "The Rambam shver." No one is capable of resolving these questions. The shiur ended with no explanation. The students were sad, and even my father was depressed. A sense of despair descended upon all of us. I cried. Even the eyes of the Rambam glistened with teardrops. With a broken heart, I would walk slowly to my mother and cry out to her, "Mother! Father, can I answer the Rambam? What will we do? He did not succeed today." And my mother would tell me, "Don't worry. Father will find the answer to the Rambam. And if he does not succeed, then when you grow up, perhaps you will find an answer to the Rambam." Always remember, my son, the important thing about Torah is to study it in happiness and enthusiasm. It is true that this story is part of my youth. It is not, however, the fantasy of a young child or the creation of mystical feelings. This story is an historic and psychological reality that guides me at all times. When I sit down to learn, now he's an adult. The giants of the Masorah are with me. Our relationship is personal. The Rambam sits to my right. Rabbi Natam to my left. Rashi sits at the head of the and explains. Rabbi Natam asks. The Rambam decides the Lacha. And the Ravid objects. All of them with me in my small room, sitting around the table. They look at me with fondness. They work the text out with me and look like a father. They encourage and strengthen me. Learning Torah is not just a didactic, formal, and technical experience whose purpose is the creation and exchange of ideas. Learning Torah is the intense experience of uniting many generations together, the joining of spirit to spirit, and the connecting of soul to soul. Those who emit the Torah and those who receive the Torah are invited to meet one another at the same historic juncture. This was the Rav's life as a kid. We mentioned yesterday he finished the Minchas Linach by the time he was a bar mitzvah. And as a kid, he's on his bed with the Rambam either less smiling or crying next to him on his bed because of his father's fear. Unbelievable. So this is the deepest feeling that one should try to achieve. Knei Chochaver, who are your friends? Your Svarim. You feel you can... They're there with you. You're learning with them. They come to life. It's an amazing thing. Okay, so this is the second part of yesterday's shmooze. What it means to be learning, and the Shekhinah is there, and the Shekhinah is there, yeah. And when you're learning, the people are there. The people, the Rabbanim we're learning are there, and it's your to try to get to that level. When in the Rav, I told you in the Rav Shir, that's how they felt. Rav Shechter says all the time, that's how they felt in the Rav Shir, as if they were sitting there with you, as if Malachi Ashar is sitting there with you. The Rav Shir was so exciting. The Rav gave Shir on Tuesdays and Wednesdays for part of his career. And Kriyas Torah was on Monday and Thursdays. What would Rav Shechter say? On Monday and Thursday we have Kriyas HaTorah. Tuesday and Wednesday we have Kabbalas HaTorah. That's how they felt in the Rav Shir. Okay. That's how I feel listening now to the Rav in English. Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And Bezrat Hashem, that's it for now. You got it? Okay.